Good morrow, my friend. I do apologize for my tardiness. It is most unbecoming of the lady of the house to leave her guests waiting. My beloved and I had much to discuss, and I'm afraid the time simply got away from us. Time. I cannot remember when I last cared to measure it. It no longer holds any sway on the departed, you see. The hours pass, flowing from one into the other, on and on and on. I suppose this is a boon for a ghost. I am sorry. It seems I have acquired the dreadful habit of losing myself in my own thoughts. Though I suppose it's only natural, having not put your inner dialogue to keep you company for so many years. Here, let me undo your collar so that we may speak further. There, that's better. Oh dear, you have soiled your clothes. How soon I forget the needs of mortal guests. Do not worry. I believe there are some items of clothing that may suit you in some of the bedrooms upstairs. Though I'm afraid they are no longer in fashion. And if you promise to behave, I will even let you pick them out yourself. Come along. What is the matter? Ah, the torture. Well, my beloved does quite look forward to that in due time. I suppose I do as well. It will certainly make for a change of pace at the very least. And my darling does carry quite the sadistic streak. You look a bit pale. Does this come as a shock to you? Did you believe you knew her? Her darkest desires? Did you really know her at all? Oh, come. I'm sure you have your own naughty little secrets. Need I remind you that you agreed to this? To do anything to be with your dear friend once more? And I assure you, you will be closer than ever by the time you're finished. And while she does not yet possess the strength to control your body, she will, in due time. Now about your wardrobe. Unless you care to remain in these sodden rags for the entirety of your visit here, I suggest you follow me. This was the guest bedroom. There are some clothes and those dresses over there. I do believe Mother left some of her dresses in the armoire, if you're interested. No? Shame. You will look lovely in them. Those? Yes, a fine choice. You can change your clothing here now. Do not worry. I will avert my gaze. Are you finished? They suit you quite nicely. Itchy? Father did have a fondness for woolen sweaters. There are always the dresses, but apart from that, it will have to do for now. Please, have a seat so we may speak. Now then, my darling and I have agreed that it would be in everyone's best interest to keep you alive, for now. If you were to pass too soon, well, then, our well of entertainment would quickly run dry. With that in mind, you will no longer be required to remain in Father's secret room, unless we are making use of your body, that is. Rather, this will serve as your room. It's not pristine, by any means, but it is livable, I hope. You will not have free rein over this manor. If we are not presently with you, the other doors shall remain locked. And if you try to escape, well, then I will have to cut the entertainment short. Do I make myself clear? Very good. You wish to ask me a question? All right. I suppose I may humour you. What would you care to know? Do I miss being alive? That is a complicated question. To say that I do would be an understatement, and yet to say that I don't would perhaps be more truthful. It's difficult to explain. You see, I do miss the touch of another. My fingers along their face, in their hair, in their sweet lips. I apologize. How inappropriate of me. It's just, when your friend came looking for me, she reminded me so much of my lost love and everything that I missed about her. I couldn't bear to let it slip away again. I acted hastily, rashly, when I decided to take her life. I just could not bear to lose another after having been devoid of love for so long. In many aspects, however, life was quite burdensome. In that sense, I do not miss it. Or perhaps I do not miss those that I lived with. No, not that. Not exactly. There are some that I truly miss. But my family. The world became a better place the moment they drew their last breaths. You did not know them. To be a good meant to have power and respect, influence and affluence. There was no limit to the depravities my parents would commit in order to maintain the position in society. My father was the worst of them, though my brother was not far behind. He was the only male heir, and though I was first born, he was the one that trailed in my father's footsteps. He aided father in the torture of my love, and threw the first torch when they burned her alive. I never knew if he did so out of misguided love for me, or if he favoured such atrocities. He and I were close, once upon a time. My mother had many secrets, even some she kept from father. Her facade was one of a pretentiously pious woman, but she would scheme. Sometimes her plans would align with father's, but often they were her own, and none of them good. I've always delighted in the irony of our namesake. I see. I'm appalled to hear that their legacy has lived on after all this time. I was never let out on my own to see the fruits of their labour, but time has immortalized them as heroes in the village's eyes. If only they knew. There's a schoolhouse named after them. I do not know whether to be honoured or horrified by such a notion. Well, of course you didn't know this was their home. How could you? When the curse fell upon this manor, it was abandoned, all mention of it erased from the record books. The only way you would know was through local gossip, I'm sure. Shadow of it haunted my parents until their dying days. If there is any solace to be found in this world, it is in the knowledge of their suffering. Ah, yes. Will I speak of the curse that bound me here and damned my family all the same? I thought I had it figured out, but I was wrong. And now we're both trapped here for my folly, among other things. I am not entirely certain enough to speak on it, but I will try to do so later. For now, though, I require favour. Since you do not know how to tune a piano and I am incapable of doing so myself, we will need to dig up Bertram. With a shovel, of course. How else would one dig up a skeleton? Thankfully, it has been raining as of late, so the soil should be relatively soft. It should be quite a boon to someone so obviously unused to manual labour. Oh, I apologize. Did my notation of observable fact hurt your feelings? I may be ephemeral, but I do believe even I possess a thicker skin than that. You should not worry. I'll be there to help you. I beg your pardon? Just because I am a ghost does not mean I am incompetent. I may be unable to leave this manor in my current state, but through you, I may go wherever I please. Oh, come. It will be excellent preparation for when my beloved possesses your body for her own pleasure. Here, allow me to demonstrate. Look over there in the mirror. See? I am inside of your mind as we speak, and yet you still look like yourself, talk like yourself, and have control of yourself. For now. Well, yes. I could completely take over your body, in which case you'd simply be a prisoner in your own mind. I would rather not have to, but I will, if absolutely necessary. If it came to that, well, I believe you would sooner die. Mother wasn't the only one capable of wicked plans. What would I do? I'm sure there's parts of your body that you'd rather not live without. Leave it to your imagination. Have I made myself clear? Splendid. Now, off we go. You would be wise to hurry. The clouds are darkening, and I'm afraid the weather is taking a turn for the worse. Do you see that burial mound? The one covered by stones? He's in there. He did not receive a proper burial, poor man. He was digging a grave, you see. My grave. When the dirt around him gave way and buried him alive. I was the black sheep. I was not to be given a space in the family plot. Bertram knew this. He was going to bury me himself. Regardless of my parents' wrath, I suppose he did it out of respect or pity. No need for sympathies. That was quite a long time ago. I do appreciate it, however. Ah, and there's Bertram now. Parts of him, at least. Come, collect the bones and we'll bring them inside. And now, I shall take my leave of you. Ah, much better. How do you feel? Cold. You enjoyed my presence within you. How oddly flattering. Now, place the bones on the floor there, as close to anatomically correct as you can muster. No, I don't think that's right. Not that. My word, what are you teaching in schools these days? Let me help. That looks about right, if a bit haphazard. Ah, and the skull will go last. I will place that myself, if you don't mind. Good as new. It's been too long, my old friend. Oh, no, please don't. They're with me. They're my ward, in a manner of speaking. I must apologize, dear Bertram. Much has passed since we last spoke. I can never forgive myself for what Father did to you on my behalf, and for your untimely passing. Such a good man denied a peaceful slumber, one that you so nobly deserved. I see. Even after all this time, you have not forgotten. There is still much I must atone for. And if it's not too much trouble, would you mind tuning the piano? I cannot do so in my ethereal state, not quite yet. Thank you, old friend. For now, you may take your leave. I will summon you later when your presence is required. I can sense your concern, Bertram. Fret not. This arrangement with the mortal is temporary. If you could help keep them alive for me just a bit longer, I